Want us to turn to Isaiah chapter 7 and reading from verse 10. Isaiah chapter 7 and reading from verse 10. Let's hear God's word. Again, the Lord spoke to Ahaz. Ask the Lord your God for a sign, whether in the deepest depths or in the highest heights. But Ahaz said, I will not ask, I will not put the Lord to the test. Then Isaiah said, hear now, you house of David. Is it not enough to try the patience of humans? Will you try the patience of my God also? Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and will call him Emmanuel. He will be eating curds and honey when he knows enough to reject the wrong and choose the right. For before the boy knows enough to reject the wrong and choose the right, the land of the two kings you dread will be laid waste. The Lord will bring on you and on your people and on the house of your father a time unlike any since Ephraim broke away from Judah. He will bring the king of Assyria. Amen, and may the Lord bless the reading of his word. Over these next few weeks, when I'm preaching on Sunday mornings, I want to look at names that Jesus was known by. Now, the first name will be known by most of you. It's usually referred to at Christmas time, and it's this name, Emmanuel. Now, the name Emmanuel appears twice in the Old Testament and once in the New Testament. It is a name that portrays a beautiful truth concerning Jesus, because it literally means with us is God. Or as it's translated into the English, God with us. And isn't it true that when our sins made it impossible for us to go to God, God took an absolutely outrageous step and he came to us. And he did for us what we could never do for ourselves. And in doing so, had to face sorrow and temptation, pain, and all that sin and the devil could throw at him. In doing this, he canceled sin's claim upon our lives and revealed the intensity of his love for us. So the next time, folks, you feel discouraged, next time you feel alone or unloved, remember Jesus is still, and as we trust in him, always will be, Emmanuel, God with us. Someone has said that if you could convince someone that there is no hope, he or she would curse the day they were born. You see, hope is, for us humans, is an indispensable quality of life. People give up when they have no hope. They lose the will to live. And that's why there's so much despair around, why people decide to end their lives, because they're living without hope. Now, in our modern society, our postmodern society, and in our postmodern thinking, so many believe that there's no real overall meaning to life apart from the personal meaning that you give it. And when our personal lives go wrong, then there's nothing to hold on to. And to people like that, we need to point out, we need to say that there is meaning to life. That Emmanuel has come and is here, God with us, and we just need to reach out and touch him. Do you remember the 69 days from the 5th of August to the 13th of October 2010? Maybe those dates don't mean very much to you. Well, if I asked you, do you remember the 33 Chilean miners stuck underground? I'm sure you'll remember that. It was a story that had the whole world grips. And all of us, I'm sure, will remember the images of them being rescued one at a time, being brought up out of the ground in a capsule from that tomb underground, 700 meters underground. It was a story of triumph of the human spirit. It was a story of triumph of a community coming together in their time of need. It was a story of resurrection. It was a story of hope over despair. And you'll remember surely the camp that the families lived in called Campamento Esperanza, which means camp hope. And you may remember the birth on the 15th of September of the miner's child who was named Esperanza, hope. This story highlights the importance of hope for the human condition. And people in various circumstances, in various situations, will often cry out, "Is there any hope?" On his deathbed, John Wesley, that tremendous, that great man of God, said, "The best of all is this, God is with us." He could have said various things, but he said that the best of all is this, God is with us. And that was his hope, Emmanuel, God with us. And surely it should be ours as well. Now, the name Emmanuel first appears in Isaiah 7 and 14 as part of a prophetic word that Isaiah spoke to King Ahaz of Judah at a time when Syria and Israel had formed a coalition against Assyria. So the prophet Isaiah told Ahaz that he wasn't to join in their uprising. That's the uprising of Syria and Israel against Assyria. On the other hand, Isaiah urged Ahaz to trust in the Lord and not to appeal to Assyria for help against Syria and Israel. They had threatened, of course, to invade Judah because they wouldn't be part of their coalition. Isaiah then told Ahaz that he should ask the Lord for a sign to confirm that what he was saying was true. However, Ahaz didn't want to obey God, nor what Isaiah had told him. And so he refused to ask for a sign. And in response to Ahaz's refusal to trust God, Isaiah says this: "Is it not enough to try the patience of human beings? Will you try the patience of my God also? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel." And shortly after that, Syria and Israel were defeated. Some years later, the southern kingdom of Judah was destroyed by Babylon and its people taken into captivity. Did God wash his hands of Judah? Did he sentence them to extinction? No, he left them with a sign. He left them with a future, with hope, Emmanuel, God with us. So what did Emmanuel mean to Isaiah? Well, it meant simply the promise of a future, the promise of hope, of God being with them and not forsaking them. Now, in Matthew's gospel, he recalls Isaiah's prophecy, applying it to the child who would be born to Mary, a virgin engaged to Joseph. You know the story. And remember, an angel appeared to Joseph in a dream and told him, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet: "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. So the sign given hundreds of years before to a rebellious king was meant for all God's people. And the truth is that the Bible is the story of God's persistent desire to dwell with his people. And in Jesus, God would succeed in a unique way, becoming a man in order to save the world, not from the outside, but from the inside. Emmanuel, God with us, to rescue, to redeem, to restore our relationship with him. So how do we know the presence of God with us? Well, the Hebrew word for knowledge is yada. But the word means so much more than mere knowledge. The knowledge of God, da'a Elohim, stresses knowing from experience, the relationship, and acting on that knowledge, on that relationship, on that experience. In other words, to know God is to know him intimately. To know him intimately would not be possible without his presence. Emmanuel, God with us, is essential if we're to know God and if we're to be known by him. So if you believe that all that is required to make you a Christian is to know some facts about God and believe those facts, you are truly mistaken. To know God is to live in relationship with him. And from the Hebrew understanding, knowledge is more than knowing who someone is. It's devotion to them as well. And Jews see knowledge of God as intimacy with God, knowing him as a son does his father, as a wife does her husband. We should think of that when we're trying to share our faith. Are we trying to fill people's minds with facts, or are we bringing people to know the Lord personally? And how well do we know him ourselves? You cannot be devoted to facts, people. Devotion is to a person. And that's why we have Emmanuel, God with us. And Jesus emphasizes this truth at the end of Matthew's gospel when he says to his disciples, "Surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." And if the Lord is with us, what do we have to fear? What do we lack? How can we lose? The same Lord who walked on water, who healed the sick, who rose from the dead, is saving us, watching over us, guiding us in all things. And so church should be a place of joy, of laughter, of rejoicing, because we are such a privileged people. We have God with us and blessing us in so many different ways. But the truth is that there are times when we don't rejoice in Christ and in his presence with us, because we would rather look to our own resources, to our own presence, maybe to someone else's resources, just like Ahaz, rather than looking to God and relying upon him. But we make a mistake when we let our sin drag us down and away from the one who has promised to be with us. And instead of running to him, we let a cloud settle over us. And for some, that cloud has been there for a mighty long time. And it's time to get rid of it, to get into that intimate relationship with the one who dwells with us. And if you're troubled by some persistent failing, by some entrenched sin, don't run away from Jesus. Instead, express your sorrow and ask for forgiveness, and then receive it. Maybe a prayer you could pray is a 4th century one known as St. Patrick's breastplate. Christ be with me. Christ within me. Christ behind me. Christ before me. Christ beside me. Christ to win me. Christ to comfort and restore me. Christ beneath me. Christ above me. Christ in quiet. Christ in danger. Christ in hearts of all that love me. Christ in mouth of friend and stranger. Emmanuel, God with us. And what if God had jurisdiction over simply over Bangor or County Down or Northern Ireland? That would mean if you left here, you were believing his protection and care, and you would be putting yourself outside of his influence. And at such times, it would be futile to pray to him because he could neither hear you nor help you. Now, this may sound very odd to us, because it's exactly the way many ancient people thought about their gods. They believed in gods whose power and influence were limited to a particular region or locality. However, God's words to Jacob when he was running away from Esau were, "I will watch over you wherever you go." So God was not confined to a particular locality, and his protection and influence was available to his people wherever they found themselves. And they soon realized that he was and is almighty, and his power extends over all creation, over the whole earth and beyond. So right from Sunday school, our kingdom kids, or within our homes, our children are taught this truth that God is everywhere. He is omnipresent. He's omnipotent, all-powerful. And yet, isn't it true that often as we get older, we put on our sensible hats, so-called, and don't really believe in practice that God is in control, that we control our future, that we can control what we should do and what should be around us, the circumstances. And so we restrict God in our minds. We set boundaries around his ability and his love and care. If we want to experience Emmanuel, God with us, we need to be where he is, to do what his love compels, to reflect his image to the rest of the world. Now think about it. In the economic crisis, God is with us. In the war zones of the world, God is with us. In the midst of poverty and abuse, God is with us. In all the trials and tribulations, Emmanuel, God is with us, and it's only in Christ that we have hope for a renewed future. And that's why Matthew calls Jesus Emmanuel, so that the whole world will be pointed towards him as our Messiah, as our good news, as our hope for the future. If Emmanuel, God with us, is the source of all hope, I wonder what it is that you're hoping for. For some of us, it may be security of employment. For some of us, it may be an easing of financial worries. For some, reconciliation where a relationship has been broken. For others, physical or mental healing. What do you hope for at this time? What does Emmanuel, God with us, mean to you? What difference does his presence bring to your life? We remember this. In your darkness, in your trials, in your anxieties, Emmanuel, God is with you. In your pain, in your frailty, in your brokenness, Emmanuel, God is with you. In your fears, in your hurt, in your insecurities, Emmanuel, God is with you. Let me share a story that I read from a book by Anne Spangler. She writes this: Randy Frame was part of a team of journalists and business leaders invited to Haiti in mid-1990s to view its problems close up. Trained as a reporter to maintain his distance, Randy wasn't prepared for what happened on the last day of the trip. That day, the group visited the House of Hope, a refuge for starving children cared for by a small group of nuns. As soon as Randy entered the two-room structure, a nun by the name of Sister Conchita approached. offering him the child she cradled in her arms, reluctant at first to take the child lest he violate his role as an objective observer. He finally gave in, deciding it would be rude to refuse. "Her name Maria," the sister said with broken English and a quiet smile. Frame writes, "I took Maria in my arms. Gingerly at first, she seemed so fragile. I could practically see the skeleton beneath her skin. Only her eyes seemed to have escaped the circumstances of her young life. Her eyes were deep brown and as shiny and as any healthy child's ought to be. She focused them not on me, but on Sister Conchita. It was clear I was second string. Perhaps my arms were not as soft or comfortable, yet she didn't cry. Maybe she was too weak to protest being held by a stranger, or perhaps she was glad to be in anyone's arms. How could I tell?" After they left, Randy's tour guide explained that on average, 1 in 4 of the children in House of Hope die because their internal organs are too damaged by the time they arrive. You can spot the ones who won't make it: lethargic, with pale, rigid skin. Their hair is a reddish hue. She could have been describing Maria. Despite being warned about the danger of venturing out alone in Port-au-Prince, Randy left the security of his hotel that night to make the 2-mile trek back to the House of Hope. When he found Sister Conchita, she was still sitting on her rocker with Maria in her arms. "As I approach Sister Conchita," she stands, sensing exactly why I have returned. She says nothing, but offers me the child and also her chair. "I have arrived at the place I want to be. And as I live out what I'd earlier in the day envisaged, I am suddenly and fully aware of my weaknesses, my limitations, and aware also of the limitations and shortcomings of humanity, which has somehow failed this child and that many others like her. I'm utterly powerless to determine whether this child, who bears the image of God, will live or die this night. But I do have power, complete power, to make certain that if and when her frail body finally yields, she has felt the security, the comfort of someone's loving arms. Tonight, they are my arms. It's the least I can do for her, and also perhaps the most. Her weak but gracious eyes look up to mine and hold their gray gaze. And in the sacred silence of this moment, there is no other power I crave, no other purpose I desire." This story makes me sad, but in a sense happy. God's love is so evident. It is God with us. God's love with Randy, God's love with Maria, the Lord expressing himself to and through human beings. Like Randy, we're called to be Christ bearers, to reflect God to others. And today, surely we need to ask for the grace to make Emmanuel known, to allow his light, to allow his life to shine through us. Emmanuel, God with us, God never leaving us, God using us to bring his presence to others, God giving us hope. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, would you just challenge us today, every one of us, to know your presence, Emmanuel, God with us, and to take that presence and make it known to others, to give hope to people who are in despair, to bring comfort and strength to people in need. Would you help us, Lord, to be the people that you have called us to be? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Emmanuel, that you are with us. In Jesus' name.